You are listening to the New Day of Hope broadcast with Helena and Glennis Langley. Enjoy.
Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. We are so excited to be with you one more time. It's a joy and it's an honor, it's a privilege to come into your home, into your car, wherever you are at this time, and share with you what doth saith the Lord. That to us means a lot when we talk about what doth saith the Lord, because you know the Bible says that the grass will wither away, the flowers will fade away, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Glory be to our God.
I'm always excited to come before you to share the word of God. And our subject for today is the transforming power of love. The transforming power of love. February is considered the love month. During this time, we celebrate Valentine's Day. That's the day most people declare their love for each other by the giving of candies, flowers, expensive jewelry, and the list goes on and on. But Valentine's Day should be all year round, not just on one particular day you give someone all these goodies to prove how much you love them. But does that really represent love? You see, the first Valentine was a Christian, not a card. Because of his love for the Lord, he was beheaded. You know, we throw the word love around carelessly. It is used in a lot of different ways to describe the food we eat and the places we enjoy, and to describe our favorite sports teams. We use love to describe relationships that are friendly, family, or romantic. So the question is, what is love? The Bible describes love as a strong feeling of affection towards someone who you are romantically or sexually attracted to. But love is not a feeling. Love is action. The world's love does not give love where it does not benefit themselves. If you do not please me, then I have no love for you. This is not love. Another definition of love is unselfish and benevolent concern for the good of another, such as the fatherly concern of God for humankind, brotherly concern for others, a person's adoration of God. That's real love. So the Greek language has many variations on the word love. Eros is passionate or sexual love. It's important within a marriage relationship, and it is created by God. Then we have philia, which refers to brotherly love and is most often exhibited in a close friendship. Storge, an affectionate love, the type of love one might have for family or a spouse. It is naturally occurring, unforced type of love. You do not have to force someone to love you. It should come naturally. Then we think of agape love, God's love. This is the highest type of love. It is God's immeasurable and incomparable love for mankind. Everything God does flows from his love. God's agape love differs from human love. Human love is conditional. God's love is unconditional. See, human love is changeable. God's love is unchangeable. His love never fails. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. Praise God. Human love is self-seeking. God's love is self-sacrificing. It is unselfish. That's why John 15 verse 13 says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. That's the kind of love I'm talking about. Unconditional love. Have you been transformed by the power of the love of Jesus? When we talk about being transformed or the transforming power of love, we are talking about something very strong. It is not a word to throw around because it means a real change in our nature or character or appearance. It signifies a turning point, something permanent, not temporary. So what would you identify as the transforming points in your life? If you think carefully about it, my guess is that the transformational points in your life came as a result of love. Love has the power to transform us. For example, getting to know Jesus and accepting his gift of salvation certainly transforms our nature, doesn't it? The Bible says we become new creations in Christ. The new has come, the old has gone. The love of God transforms us like no other love could. No wonder John 3:16 is one of the favorite verses in the Bible for many people. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." It's because of that incredible love that we can have eternal life. Praise God. It is God's love for us that transforms us. And then it is our privilege and responsibility to share that love with others. Romans 5:5 tells us that God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When we are born into God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and he simply pours God's love into our hearts. His love can transform a life. Transformation is a powerful word and is something that is desperately needed in every life. So, what is transformation? The best example in all of nature is the butterfly. The butterfly undergoes a transformation when it emerges from the cocoon that it had woven for itself when it was a caterpillar. So transformation means changes. Changes in motive, in your thoughts, in words, and action. When this love invades our life, we are simply transformed. We are changed from the inside out. It starts with a changed heart. When we allow God to transform us with his love, he changes our heart. He removes all the sin, all the self-seeking, all the guilt, all the self-loathing. We become captivated first in our hearts by his great love. So his love must be shed abroad in your heart. Then he begins to work on our minds. He changes the way we think about things and people. He enables us to love unconditionally just as he loves. Our attitudes change. Compassion and forgiveness replace judgmental and retribution. When our attitudes and thoughts changes, our action follows close behind. When God's love transforms us, we are never the same. So how is the transforming power of love expressed? The most sublime expression of that love was in Jesus. Love is a force that can transform a person. We can see this transformational process at work in the story of Zacchaeus, and he was a tax collector. And we can find that story in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And I'll read that for you right at this moment. And it begins, it says, "Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he was very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. 'Zacchaeus,' he said, 'quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today.' So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. 'He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner,' they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Amen. So we notice that Zacchaeus was desperate to see Jesus. He was short in stature, so he had to climb a tree in order to see Jesus. Zacchaeus may have even been putting his own safety in jeopardy by showing up in the crowd trying to see Jesus because the people despise him because of his profession. Zacchaeus was stealing from the people. So the Bible says that Jesus called him by name. That means that Jesus knows our name. Jesus honored Zacchaeus by calling him by name. This implies that he knew him and his story, how he was excluded because he worked for Rome. Jesus knew his reputation and he knew the truth about Zacchaeus' business practices, whether or not they were dishonest. So we observe that Jesus' first word to Zacchaeus were not about the type of business that he did, but he asked to spend time with Zacchaeus. How do you think Zacchaeus felt when Jesus said he wanted to stay at his house? Someone who was important, respected, loved, and received as the Messiah wanted to hang out with this crook. He wanted to go to the house of Zacchaeus, but the people wanted to kill him. Everyone rejected Zacchaeus. Nobody wanted to hang out with him, but Jesus was willing to be that exception. He wanted to be that friend to Zacchaeus. He wanted Zacchaeus to know that in spite of what he was doing, he still loved him. And Zacchaeus shows that he is willing to go above and beyond if he had cheated anyone. Then he goes further and declares he will give away half of his possession. This is the bold move of a wealthy person, indicating to us that Zacchaeus is a changed man and Jesus had accepted him, because Jesus' love and acceptance of Zacchaeus made him want to live differently, to be a better person, to be more generous. Jesus makes it clear that everyone belongs, regardless of their career choice or any mistake they may make. Jesus even calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. What more can we learn from this story for our lives today? Transformation can only happen in the context of loving acceptance of a person where they are at right now. Jesus saw Zacchaeus. He knew him by name, which means he knew everything about him, but yet he wanted to spend time with Zacchaeus. Jesus wanted to show Zacchaeus how much he loved him. Jesus didn't tell Zacchaeus that he needed to make any particular changes. He said, I would love to spend time with you and get to know you better. See, in our relationship, we must put love and acceptance first and leave the job of transformation to God and his perfect timing. Everybody is somebody in God's kingdom. So as we consider the transformation of Zacchaeus' heart, we are reminded that love and acceptance create the conditions for transformation to occur. And this transformation will come from God within a person, not from concerned onlookers. You cannot be on the sidewalk looking, or you cannot be a judge of anyone. You share the love of Christ with them, and the love of Christ will transform that person. Another example of the transforming power of love is found in Acts chapter 3. The Bible tells the story of a lame man who used to sit outside the temple gate. The man had been lame since birth, so he really didn't expect anything to ever change his circumstances. There are many believers in today's world who are in a similar predicament. They feel stuck in circumstances beyond their control. Instead of truly entering into God's destiny for their lives, they languish outside the gate, worrying about their health, their finances, their relationships, or any other situation that keeps them from trusting God as the one who will intervene in their situation and meet their need. See, the lame man was carried to the gate daily. And one day, he had an encounter. He had an encounter with Peter and John. You see, the lame man was sitting outside the gate asking for alms. In other words, he was asking for money. He wanted a handout. But Peter said to him, "Look on us." And he was expecting to receive something. But Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Then the Bible says that Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was transformed by the power of the love of Jesus. He did not expect to be healed. He expected some money, but he got his healing. The Bible says that he began leaping and praising God. Why? Because he was no longer a lame man. He was transformed by the power of Jesus. The greatest story of love is the story of Jesus the Christ. His incarnation, crucifixion, and resurrection profoundly demonstrate God's love for all mankind. This love is transformation, life altering. Once we are touched by that love and respond to it, our lives will never be the same. Have you experienced that love? Have you experienced love that is so powerful that it totally changes your life? Can you say that you have experienced a life change that has finally given you peace and joy? You are destined for transformation as you accept His profound love. Here's how you can start practicing that love: by becoming an intentional lover. It begins when you allow God's love for you to fill up the emptiness inside of you. Are you feeling empty today? His love can fill you up. Allow God to invade your life with His love. This experience is yours when you finally say yes to Him. Give Him your life and ask Him to lead you every step of your life from now on. Then He will begin to fill you with His love. It is God's love for us that transforms us. And then it is our privilege and responsibility to share that love with others. I repeat that. It is God's love for us that transforms us. And then it is our privilege and responsibility to share that love with others. If you have never experienced God's love, today you can experience that agape love that I'm talking about. That love that is unconditional. And the only place you can find that love is not in a man or in a woman, but in the Lord Jesus. And His love is eternal. So reach out and embrace that love. Amen. Praise God. And if you are challenged by today's word, we encourage you to reach out to us at newdayofhopeatlanta@gmail.com. Once again, that's newdayofhopeatlanta@gmail.com. So until then,
go find someone to love.
Amen.